to read from John to start in verse 15 this morning. If you're interested in following along, I'm going to be kind of moving through subsequent chapters of John and just kind of pointing out some things that Jesus taught us that the Holy Spirit does for us. Even as we recited the creed, it almost feels like the Holy Spirit gets a little cheated, doesn't it? It's just like that one sentence, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and then we just move on. And us even now more about the important role of the Holy Spirit. John 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. There's nothing, I think, or a few things more important for us as the people of God than the presence and the power of God at work in and through us. If you could think this morning about the worst thing that could happen to us as a church, what comes to your mind? What's the most terrifying thought you can think of for Mountain Brook Baptist Church and our ministry and our hopes for the future? If you go back to this episode in the book of Exodus, you remember Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, the people get scared, they're not sure what they're supposed to do, and Aaron makes for them these golden calves that are false gods for them. I mean, the Lord sees what happens and he decides to respond. One of the things that he says is that you with you. For these people are stubborn and I can't be in their presence. How would you have responded in that moment? Moses digs his heels and says, "If you are not going up with us, then I'm not going either." Because the only thing that makes us distinct and unique among all the peoples on the face of the earth is your presence among us. The only thing that sets us apart as different, the only reason that we have hope for salvation and sustenance and for our future is our belief that you are always going to be with us. And he answers the prayer of Moses and he goes with them. And he gives them presence. Do you remember this in the Old Testament story? That there is a cloud or a pillar of smoke in the day, and there's a pillar of what by night? Fire. And it is this visible representation for the people of God that the presence of God is with them and is going before them to prepare the way. And the thing that terrifies Moses is the prospect of the presence and the power of God among them. And when the disciples are getting ready for earthly ministry, and we've been on this theme or this topic for several weeks now, as they're getting ready to them, as he's preparing to ascend to the Father, they understand that they're in a situation not that dissimilar to what Moses was in the wilderness. That if God's presence and his power is not with them, then they have no hope. And so the Lord Jesus tells them, "Don't worry, I'm going to go to the Father, and in due time, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be with you." In the passage that Mark read earlier, they wait. Wait until I send the Holy Spirit to you. And the truth and the principle there is that apart from God's presence and the Holy Spirit and his power at work among us, you and I have no reason to think that our ministry will be fruitful. And so they waited obediently until God sent his Holy Spirit to them to empower them and gift them for the work of ministry. And I don't mind admitting to you that there is about ministry in life as your pastor, that if I'm not careful, I can try to minister and do life in my own power and in my own strength. Any of you relate to that? There's a part of me that I think, all right, what do I have to get done this week? Well, I need to write a sermon, or I need to visit some folks, or I need to attend some meetings, or I need to do fill in the blank. And that first person personal pronoun kicks in pretty strong, doesn't it? I think it's that I'm willingly or consciously trying to be disobedient. But there is a part of me that I take God's presence sometimes for granted. I take his power at work in. And it's a passage like this, and his presence at work in and through me. I have no reason to think that ministry will be fruitful or that our church will be faithful to what God's called us to. I did a little yard work yesterday. You know one of my least favorite jobs in the world? I mean, if you wanted to give me something, if I were to believe in purgatory, which I don't, that'd be the job you give me. Put me out there and let the humidity be about 85% and say, hey, pull all these weeds all day long. And my backyard is full of them. So Webb and I got out, and as we were pulling weeds, the storm started rolling in, right? And I looked up in the trees, and the trees are starting to dance, and I'm just like, all right, Lord, is this the day? I feel like the day's coming for me at some point. It's come for all my neighbors, right? The trees are gonna, some tree is gonna fall at some point, right? And I was up and I was looking, and so I showed a little bit of wisdom and got in out of the lightning. And I sat in my garage and I had the garage door up and the wind was blowing through, and I heard, I heard the train kind of make one of those kind of noises, you know? And then sure enough, I'm sitting there in the dark. But aren't you like me that you forget that the power is out even though it's out? It's the first thing that you do, flip on a light switch, and you're like, the power's out. There is no light switch. It's not going to work. You can flip it all day long. And there's this spiritual principle, if we will listen and pay attention, that the same is true for us. Like, we are of no good and no use and no purpose apart from God's presence. We need days like Pentecost Sunday to remind ourselves of this. To remind ourselves that the disciples waited. And they didn't go out in their own strength and power to do the ministry that Jesus had. And God graciously and mercifully supplied for them the Holy Spirit in a really powerful way, as Mark read. And Peter was empowered to preach the good news of the gospel in such a way that everybody, I wish I could have been there to have seen that, don't you? Or even this morning, if we were enabled to speak these languages and others would hear and understand what we're saying by the power of the Spirit in a tangible way, but the disciples saw that, and the Lord used them in powerful ways to go out and heard indeed, and people came to saving faith in and through them, and I would love to see more of that in our own day. Amen? Love to see more people come alive to the reality of Jesus Christ and what he's done for them, and to experience the eternal and abundant life that God would have. And Jesus graciously teaches us that it will not happen in our own strength, in our own power. But you and I are dependent to wait upon the Holy Spirit to work. In bold dependence upon the Holy Spirit, but at every point trusting that he's the one doing his work. John's gospel. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. The first thing I want us to recognize and appreciate, the person of the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, dwells with us. And whatever it is that is before us personally this week, whatever it is that's before us as a church, whatever the future holds for us, one of the things that we can be confident is that every point along the Holy Spirit, and he will be among us, and you and I will never experience a season in which we are forsaken by him. And that is reason to rejoice. I kind of feel like we're an old school Pentecostal church a little bit with our fans out today. If we were, that would have gotten an amen, I'm just saying. That the good news is that God will never remove his Spirit and his power principle, the steadfast covenant love. And because of that, you and I move into the future with great hope, knowing that the Holy Spirit will help us every step along the way. Skip down to verse 25. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I will give to you." Truth that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that Jesus has taught us, and that he will disciples with this truth as he was preparing them to go out into a world that would be hostile to them. And Jesus would say, "Don't worry about what you're going to say when you're before them, because in that moment, I will let you know what to say." How many of you, there is a certain amount of fear when you think about sharing the hope that you have in Jesus with someone? None of you? Gosh, I feel so alone and isolated and vulnerable. That every one of us, likely, if we're being honest, there is this thought that if I were to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone else, that I wouldn't know what to say. I would respond. And I was on one summer that there is a joy that comes when you share the gospel with an unbeliever, that as you step out in faith and trust that God's going to give you the words to say, there is this excitement that comes when you just kind of stay in your bubble and your routines, and you never step out and say a courageous thing on behalf of God. And Jesus equips his disciples. And the disciples, think about them, y'all. They did not have the benefit of these thousands of years of church history, scriptures. They didn't have all the theology. They didn't have the creeds that you and I, even this morning, have in our back pockets and in our hearts. They didn't have a copy of this. And the Lord would send them out in this dependence upon remembrance all that Jesus had taught them. And I be emboldened and courageous to move out into the world and share our faith, knowing that the Holy Spirit will help us, that he will equip us, that he will bring to our mind the things that Jesus has taught us, and that it's not about us and our presentation or how smooth we are, or being able to answer all the questions, but it is on us primarily to be faithful, to step out and to share and to trust, even when we have stammering tongues, that the Lord will help us know what to say, and he will make our witness. Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has taught us. He will help us know what to say in those moments. Now, as an aside, I would say, and it would be unfaithful for me as a pastor not to say this, that maybe part of your job is to give the Holy Spirit a little something to work with in your heart. Right? That you bring yourself to the scriptures, again, not so that you can be more righteous or the Lord will love you more, but because you want to know him more deeply. And in your heart and in your spirit, there are these words of God that, let's give the Holy Spirit some kindling, okay? And the more you saturate yourself in the words of Scripture, the more it brings it to mind. And here's the other thing, don't worry. If you know it's in there but you don't know, you can just do what? You just Google it. Or ChatGPT it. Or whatever your thing is that you do. Right? That you know it's in there, and as you're trying to speak, if you have to, like, use that. Lord, give me words to say to know what to respond in this moment. But the Holy Spirit should give us this courageous that even when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will bring it to mind for us. Skip down to verse 26 of John 15. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." That the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth this is. That even as we are trying to be faithful to share the good news of Jesus with others, we can be confident that God's Holy Spirit is at the same time at work bearing witness to the reality of who God is in Jesus Christ. And it's God's word and God's witness and his power at work in us that gives us strength and the encouragement to move forward. Skip down to verse 7 of chapter 16. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin. Now, one of the reasons that I find that to be a comforting truth is that I have attempted in my own power and strength to convict other people of their sin. Have you ever done that? That it might be good for me to point out in you the ways that you're not all that God would have for you to be. And there's a curious thing that happens. Usually, I only see the sin in other people that is a sin that I don't struggle with. Has that ever happened to you? Like, I usually see your flaws or your sins in ways that I'm really strong and good. Like, I'm sure I would be a great umpire in baseball. Because I'm so good at showing you how you're not good at that. Right? But there is the reality and the truth that it is not our job to convict people of their sins ultimately. Now, it doesn't mean that if I'm in relationship with you and I see you straying off the path that God can't use me, a la 1 John, to see that sin and graciously point it out to you and try to bring you back to the path of righteousness so that you might experience all that God would have for you to know. And all of you have to do that for me. If you see places in my heart and my life where I'm erring off the path, but ultimately it is the role of the Holy Spirit to bring about this sense of conviction, this need for righteousness that God gives us through faith in Jesus Christ, and to bring about the reality of God's judgment coming in the world. And it gives me comfort to know that that's not my job ultimately to work that in you. That I can't bring any more than I can make flowers bloom in my backyard. But I need the Holy Spirit to be at work, doing that work for me. So if you're like me, perhaps you have people in your life that you want them to see the beauty of the life that Jesus would offer to them. And perhaps you have hit your head into the wall over and over again without much fruit or without much results. Perhaps Jesus would say to you this morning, pray for them. Pray for them. That the light of God's truth would shine in their hearts and that he would bring the conviction that only the Holy Spirit can bring about in their lives, that they may see and turn to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of hearers, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus says that he will glorify, the Holy Spirit will glorify him. I jokingly told some baseball parents that I was preaching on church this morning. And I said, admittedly, we're more of everything should be done decently in order kind of people. But us Baptists, we're not really known for being Holy Spirit type people. But the reality of the truth is that you and I have no reason to be fearful or anxious about the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Thus, as you and I proclaim his word, and that you and I can test whether or not what is happening by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us is ultimately, does it glorify Jesus Christ? Does it glorify Jesus Christ? And if it doesn't, and it's not in keeping with God's truth, then you and I should step away and not be a part of it. Right? I hope that I you that we as a people become increasingly known for our dependence and our courage and our reliance upon God's Holy Spirit at work in and through us. And that we would courageously bear witness to the difference that Jesus has made in our life, and that we would invite people to experience that eternal and abundant life, that we would know the Holy Spirit will be with us and in us every step of the way, and that the Lord might be pleased to do a gracious work in us. And people will say, what's going on down there at that Mountain Brook Baptist Church? And say, the Lord has graciously poured his Spirit out on us, that he is equipping us and empowering our ministry, and people are being drawn to faith in Jesus Christ. May it be. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we confess we so often try to walk in our own power and strength. We thank you that you are faithful, that you've been faithful for those of us who have faith in Jesus to convict us of our sin and our need for righteousness. And we pray that you would empower us to do that same work. We pray that we would be a group of people that our existence and our ministry and our power can't be explained in merely human ways, that you, by the power of your Spirit, are graciously at work in and through us. Help us to walk in courage and dependence in the Holy Spirit. Glorify Jesus in our hearts and help us to glorify Jesus in our ministry. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.